We're in lesson 21 in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And we left off last week with verse 1, and we're going to pick that right back up. When Paul says in Ephesians 3:1, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, he recognized what's going on in his ministry. We looked at last lesson that he seems like he was going to the Israelites, lost Israelites, by the way, not the saved one. They're already in that little synagogue with a little flock. He wouldn't go back over and go to Peter's group and start preaching and teaching Peter's group when they're already saved in that kingdom program. But he kept going to his brothers, didn't he? Synagogue, and he just kept going and going. And the Lord told him in Acts chapter 9, Ananias, he must suffer great things, and he's going to who? The Gentiles, the kings, and to Israel. So it's reversed. But it seemed like he just kept going back and going back. And I know there was a question like, was he being disobedient? And I looked up the word rebel. Anybody, you know what a rebel is? You know, it's not somebody waving flags and all that stuff. It's somebody that rebukes authority. You know, it's not a friend, he's not a foe. But it's just somebody that rebels against authority. So, you know, I'm looking at this guy, Paul, the apostle. What number apostle was he?
13.
You know, that's a number of rebellion? In the Bible, it's 13 rebellion. So he knows what's going on. He finally recognized that Jesus Christ has shut him up. And he did it because Paul is the apostle to the who?
Gentiles.
And what does Gentiles mean again?
Nations.
Nations. Not the nation, but nations. He's our apostle to all the nations now. And by the way, if Israel has fallen, which they have, right? That's how the Bible teaches it. Well, if they are fallen, are they above any nation in the dispensation of grace? But you do know in times past when God chose them up and picked them up, they was not to be reckoned among the nations. You know what I'm talking about? They were set up here. So Paul, even today, he's apostle to all nations. Even the Jewish nation today that's in apostasy. But he recognized his Gentile position, and that he was going to be given as the apostle to the Gentiles, and it has been given him by who?
Jesus Christ.
While Jesus Christ walked the earth?
No.
Or was it when Jesus Christ glorified, risen Lord and Savior?
No.
Up in heaven, wasn't he? Ephesians 2, 3, chapter 3, verses 2 through 5 says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he had made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, you know this passage that we just read is an absolute rebuke to the churches today. Now follow me with this a little bit, because I know many of us has come out of different religions and come out of different churches and all, but what you just read is a rebuke to all the churches out there today, that the passage says that the dispensation of the grace of God had been what? Known, right? It's been known. And that the secret has been revealed, and it can be understood for the past 1900 years. You know that to be true, don't you? You believe your Bible, don't believe me, you believe the Bible. But how many people have you heard preach about it? When you turn your radios and TVs on and just listen, can you tell how many people who hears the television every day talking about the mystery of the Christ, mystery that was revealed to Paul? How many people can you know that when you turn on your TV and radio and stuff will talk about the revelation that was preached by Jesus Christ, what Paul preached? Very few, isn't it? Very few will tell you that, you know, they're exalting the grace message and exalting the finished work of Jesus Christ. A lot of it is that plus this. You know, there's some of us listen to different preachers on the radio, and I will listen over the years as we talk about it, and you'll say, well, this guy was touching on grace today. You know, it sounds like he's hitting this message. But when you turn it off and turn them on the next day, what does he do? Put you right back under law, or put you under bondage and all that stuff. And that, you think about, that's not grace. I am convinced, guys, that, well, I'll keep going a little bit because I don't have to convince myself. But the thing is the fact that you hear people talking about it all the time, but you won't hear them really telling you the truth about that. You'll hear everybody say, every now and then you'll hear people say about the grace message and about the mystery of Apostle Paul. It seems like more and more when I turn on the radio, more people's talking, preaching Pauline truths, and or grace message, or the Bible issues. And you know, and you hear somebody in that. Shouldn't it be that way? Mm-hmm. All the time? You should hear somebody preaching and then making distinctions. I have to think back when we helped a man start a church here locally. Everything was hunky-dory all the way through for 18 weeks. Then, no distinctions. And as if you know me, I know dispensational truths, and you're not going to move me from it. And when you show no distinctions in the Bible, and you're teaching that, what does it do with dispensational truths? They disappear, don't they? Because that's why you get to where, well, Paul preached the same thing Peter did. He just picked up the torch because Peter reduced his authority. You know, we believed that, didn't we, one time? We didn't know there was distinctions in the Bible, but they are. When Paul says, you guys heard this, haven't you? That's what he's saying right here. He's looking at Ephesians. He says, you heard it. And when he says, if you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, it's not if it's maybe you have or maybe you haven't. They did hear it. And the if is a sense that I know you did. And it's a challenge. You know you heard it. That's what he's saying. You know you heard this. Because what does Ephesians 1:13 say? Hold your finger there. In whom ye have trusted. Now who's he talking to there?
Ephesians.
So did he not give him the gospel that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again? So to him whom you trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of what? Your salvation. So they heard about this. So it wasn't as if he's got to go back and say, you know, if you heard this, you know you heard this, guys. And this is what you got to do. In Ephesians 2:17, verse 17 says, and came and preached peace to you. We haven't got to chapter 4 yet, but if you're taking notes, chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him. Now, have they heard him or not? You know they have heard of him. In Acts 19, you don't have to turn there, stay in Ephesians 3. In Acts 19:10, it says, so that all that were which dwelt in Asia heard the word. So there's a time that Paul's the message of grace has been out to the world. All of Asia heard it. I know Colossians says that the gospel which was preached in all creatures which are under the heaven. So there was a time that I believe Paul's gospel got out to all creatures. But what happened to the message? It's very serious, guys. So Ephesians 3:2 says, when Paul, if you have heard, which there's no doubt that you haven't, Ephesians, now have you heard it today? There's no doubt in your mind that you have heard it. He is saying, you guys know about this mystery. He has challenged them with that. That's why it's very important in the book of Ephesians is that advanced mystery truths. And you know, the situation with justification, sanctification, glorification, it's finished, guys. It's settled. Now you got to know some truths that's really going to help you understand why we're in a nasty now. So he's challenging them. Yes?
You said the whole world heard Paul?
Well, every creature under heaven heard it. Colossians chapter 1.
At that time?
Yes. And I believe, yes.
How could somebody in America hear it?
Well, once again, every creature, I got to believe the verse.
Yeah, but
the people in America wasn't here yet. That was over there. 1900 years ago.
There were people in America at that time.
1900 years ago.
Yeah, there were people here in America
okay. at that time. All right. Indians, is that who you're talking about? Okay. But I believe that everybody under creation, creature, the verse says every creature under heaven has heard. So what they've done with it at that point is where you're at today. Because when did you hear this truth?
When I came here.
Okay. What had happened? What, you know, it was just distorted. So the challenge today, and it is a rebuke, is that the indication of the failure of the church. That's what's happened over that period of time. The body of Christ is under grace. And it needs to be instructed from us, to us from the Word of God, and down through the history, there's always been men and women, just like ourselves, saints just like you and I, who stood for these Pauline truths and understood it. There's a book out there called The Pilgrim's Church. And it describes basically all the grace churches all down through the history. And they're just little bitty ones all through the history. But who writes church history today?
Catholics and also Catholic and Catholic Synodized.
They're the biggest one who writes church history.
Yes.
I have to remind myself, when you win a war, you write history. And it's devastating to some of us that lost a war or something like that, or other countries that's lost wars, and you was the victor, you come in there and you write history. You tell people what it was, and there was little pockets of truths all through that people wants to douse out. You know, I think of the Amish down here. You know where they came from? Didn't they? Come over from Germany area, didn't they? What made them distinct and their beliefs against the church? You know what made them different between anybody else? They didn't baptize babies. Okay? They're Anabaptists. Okay? And they wouldn't baptize, but there was a group of people in church history that run the world says you have to baptize babies. You know who I'm talking about? So they prosecute them, and they kept pushing them until they come over here. There's a group called the Waldensians, which many of you may know. They was in the France area, and they got pushed up in the mountains to hide because they're being stomped out because they believed in dispensation Pauline truths. There are thousands of them down there in the hills of North Carolina, you know, that came over here to run from persecution, you know. So that's just some things. They're out there, guys. There's little pockets just like you and I that stand up for truth and believe it. They have been there, but they will not appear on the pages of church history. And you probably heard many preachers say this when you have meetings, regional meetings, or meetings like this and stuff. You won't find that in mainstream religion newspapers. They never know you was here. You know, people's worrying about Big Brother watching them. Who's going to know you're here today? You will. And when you go out and share the gospel grace of God, somebody else will. When God set the prophetic program aside with the post-resurrection commission and the signs of the kingdom program, we understand that, don't we? Did God not set this program aside over here?
He did.
You know who picked it up? And or Satan. Satan picked it up. And he sets the counterfeit Jewish program aside too. You got to remember, there was the true, this line up here on the chart, this represents true nation Israel. This is not the apostate Israel. But if you had another line around it, say up in here, there was a religion that followed the gods of this world. Satan was their daddy. In fact, and nationally, Israel started becoming part of that. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan had a counterfeit program that God had a program. And you got to remember, this man is Slewfoot. You know, he's very sly and he's very knowledgeable and he can counterfeit anything. That's what we're talking about on Onslaught about grace, grace churches. You go up down the highway all the way around here and there'd be a Grace Bible or Grace, you know, Methodist or Grace Catholic or, you know, Grace Baptist, you know, grace, grace, grace. And you take little, like someone like little Abby, and they're going down with, you're driving out to eat or wherever, and you go, look, Dad, Mom, there's a Grace Church. And you explain to them, well, yeah, that's the name of it. Then they look up and there's a cross up there. What do we preach? We preach the cross, don't we? That the preaching of Jesus Christ, you can't get by the cross. Well, look, Dad, Mom, there's a cross up there. They must believe the same thing we believe. You got to be very careful because our minds can be tricked. I know. My mind gets tricked all the time. But the thing is, you got to really go, whoa, bring it back in line here. You know, that's why you look at doctrine, reproof, and correction. Romans is a book of doctrine, correct? Mm-hmm. Then you got the book of Corinthians. It's a book of reproof. What was God through Paul reproofing the Corinthians over?
What wasn't he?
Yeah. What kind of era?
Christian era.
But they was doing something. They had the gospel. They're being saved.
Going back under the law.
It was their behavior.
Yeah.
So he's correcting their behavior, and Paul comes down hard on them. You know, I mean, they really attack him in 2 Corinthians. Then Galatians is a book of what?
Corrections.
Excuse me. Corinthians was a book of reproof.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The behavior. Galatians is a book of correcting their behavior. They're saved under grace, but what do? These Judaizers come over and say, come on, Walt. Come on, it's okay you believe that Christ died for your sins and buried rose again, but you need to do this. You need to do what Moses did. You know, and some of them just jump right in there, and Paul says, hey guys, I marvel how soon you removed from him to another gospel, which is not another gospel. You know, so he's correcting their behavior. Then you got the book of Ephesians that we're in. That's another doctrine book. But Satan, old Slewfoot, he picks up the counterfeited program and sets it aside, and he picks up the things which God sets aside, and his program went on into a mystery form. You know, if God is in a mystery program today, don't you think Satan's in a mystery program? You got to really think about this, because I know that many of us says, well, he's doing what they did in times past. Yeah, but we're doing what's in times past. Our mind is saying, no, I feel that this is right to do this. You know, but your mind's being tricked too. But Satan is in a mystery program, and it comes in, and the program goes into a mystery form, and it's the mystery of the Babylon, the great. See, isn't God doing, how do you explain this, that if God's in a mystery program, well, it's not if he is, God is in a mystery program. So he's not doing signs, wonder, miracles. You know, right? So what makes us think that Satan's doing signs, wonders, and miracles?
That's what we taught
in the past. We taught in the past, or we think God's doing it, but can't you think yourself that he's doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, human viewpoint, you don't need Satan to tell you right or God. That human viewpoint can say, boom, I don't care what this is. He's doing it or else. And you got to get it in a book. You know, that's why we use the Word of God as authority. But just like that mystery program, he picks up all those things and he takes the head of the 12 apostles as his head. You ever notice when people talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I deal with this every day. It's Jesus, 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 and what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And, you know, when you mention Paul, yeah, but Jesus said this. You ever go?
But who was he talking to?
But, yeah, that's the thing. You know, last night was like, who is he talking to? But Peter, who is Peter talking to? And you got in there, sit there and think for a minute. But sometimes I love to use the fact, okay, if you're going to use the Lord Jesus Christ, as in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm going to use the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to show you what he's doing, but yet Now, I'm going to show you what he says, Paul. That's why when we talk, we you know, many of us get caught up with, Paul said this, Paul said that. Paul said this, Paul said that. And guess what people might think you're doing? Worshiping Paul. Because they don't hear God. So what? How is it when you approach somebody, you know, God through Paul said this. You know, have you ever considered that Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, said this through Paul? And they're like, ooh, you know, ah. So there are ways that we can do that. But Deuteronomy says, their rock, talking about Israel, their rock, little r, is not our rock. And he's speaking about Israel. Well, this Deuteronomy passage is speaking about Israel over here. In the 70th week, Daniel over here. And it goes on and on and on. When you think about a mass, that part of that rules over a kingdom of the world in Revelation 17, that machinery takes that control of the people and they write history. You with me? They'll take a group of people and say, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're going to show. They take that and put it in the educational systems too and go forth to shut you and I out. Completely shut us out. You know, I know it's sad that you sit there and you have to eat Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of heathen. You know, I look at some of our family members, but, you know, I know they're family, and you haven't seen them in a year, and you're going to tolerate them, and you're going to say, I'm just not going to bring nothing up. They just shut you up. But can't you talk about the Lord and you find out things about different situations they may talk about, and you can bring out some dispensational truths? I look for those opportunities all the time. I don't know why I get myself in trouble like that all the time. Oh, Ed, you know, don't bring Ed with you. Well, Sherry can come all you want to. But, hey, okay, I understand. I'm going to work today. But anyway, somebody asked one of Martha Luther's followers, where was your religion before Martin Luther? And the guy said, the same place your face is before you washed it, behind the dirt. And that's a fact, if you think about it, it's true. If you don't wash your face, the dirt shows out, right? So, like, you know, people says, where was you before John Darby? Or where was this dispensational truth? Well, I've never heard of this stuff before. And people tries to find out through church history where you was, you know, the Stams or the Jordans or the E.C. Moores and, you know, just on down the line. And you're searching to find out where you're at. Why not go to Paul? You know, yeah, I mean, take them right to Paul. Forget about everything up to this point. You take them to the Word. You take them to Paul. Another one asked John Wesley's followers, where was your religion before John Wesley? And one says, one place yours can never be found, and mine is always found in the Bible, and in the Bible alone. Isn't that a good thing? Go right back to the Word of God. Go back to Paul. And that's what counts the most, isn't it? You know, we're not Bible thumpers around here. We're Bible, what? Believers. We're not Bible packers. You know, we believe the Word of God. We use the Word of God. We need the Word of God today. Amen. You know.
I was just going to say, too, like Paul's approach, he said whether they're in pretense or in truth, they're preaching Christ, some this way, some a vanity, some a strife. I'm glad they're preaching Christ.
Yeah.
I'm going to rejoice and keep going on with what I'm doing.
And the thing is what you're doing. You know what I mean? How do we respond to the teaching of Jesus Christ? And he did. He was in contention. You know, hey, at least they're preaching Christ over here. You know, but the thing is what we looked at, my opinion is, how do they preach Christ? Where is the foundation? There's no foundation. We looked at that a couple lessons ago. That's not laid. That's on who?
Jesus Christ.
He's the foundation. But how is the information given on about Jesus Christ? See, and that, you know, so if they're preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation mystery, praise God, hallelujah. But you know, you can get saved and hear the gospel that Christ died for your sins, rose again, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I wonder about some things about, okay, what information are they giving you? How are you growing in the Word of God the right way? Because I tell you, and I've done it my young life, I forced a lot of things in my young Christian life, thinking it was right. And I wanted to grow, and I wanted to do right. But it just wasn't, you know, lining up. I just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard when you force that square peg in that round hole. But you want it to fit, so you take your whittle knife out. It's done, honey. Let's go on. You know, and then you worry. You sit, if you're like me, you worry about that peg for a little while. Is it going to start working out? And chances are it's going to. Many of you know my grandfather started a furniture business in the 30s. His daddy made pick handles and trolley poles for the coal fields. So they took and started making furniture out of it. It took a square, took a lathe, and round it down. That post was semi-dry, but the rounds was bone dry. And you put a little bit of glue in there, and that thing would shrink up and make a bond. You didn't have to worry about it. I've got a chair today that my grandfather made in the early 60s. Just as sturdy as it was when he first built it. Yeah. So that's what you want to build on, that foundation. Build on the right foundation. Once again, if they're preaching Jesus Christ, praise God, hallelujah.
I think, too, he was saying it doesn't throw me off track. Because I got to do what I got to do.
There you go. There you go. He knew his direction, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the rebuking, he is rebuking these Ephesians, and it fits today. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, "If ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to youward," notice the expression, "the dispensation of the grace of God." Is that a good Bible term?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's a good word. You know a dispensational Bible church anywhere? Hello? You're sitting in one. But the thing is, don't replace that word with administration or economy. But give out the word of dispensation. You know, I know the Greeks, I'm not going to put that word back into Greek. And the English word economy and all that stuff, I'm not going to do that. That's the last thing you want me to try to start speaking Greek up here. But many of you took Greek classes, you know, and you know those words. But isn't it wonderful to know you have it in the English word today? And when you talk about our economy system, we're talking about the economy. And you talk about economists, you talk about the economy, don't you? But think about these. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. When you're talking about the economy, if you know, you're talking about rules that are in operation and a system out there, the things that makes things go. And Luke chapter 12, see how the word is used in another context to get the idea of what it means. Luke chapter 12, verse 41. "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" See that word steward? That's the same type of word up there in dispensation. Okay? It's spelled a little different in that, but the thing is, you know, it's spelled a lot different. But the thing is, it's the root word. Steward is the person. His stewardship, his job, his responsibility is the word dispensation. The steward is the economist, the person, and his job is economy. So the dispensation is a dispensing out. And who is better to dispense out grace than God? Right? Or his faithful who? Servant. You know, when you read definitions of dispensation any better, you can't find it any better than what you just saw there as a steward. So the steward is supposed... So what is a steward supposed to do?
He's a caretaker.
Caretaker.
He has to be responsible, make good decisions with what he's given. It's stewardship. He's
okay.
Held accountable.
And his stewardship and his dispensational responsibility. That verb, dispense, means to what?
Meet out.
Okay. Meet out, give out, right? You ever heard of a dispensary? Mm-hmm. Remember the old words you used to go, I don't want to go. You go down to the dispensary right now and take your medicine and all that stuff. What did they do? They dispensed out something, didn't they? They gave out something. Isn't that what the steward is doing? He is giving, in the Luke parable, he's giving out a portion of what? Meat in due season. So, if you think of the word dispensationalist, you're giving out meat of God's word, if you think about it for a second. You don't just give out milk, but you have to give out what? You know, we got a couple in here that's going to be grandparents. You know, and that little bitty baby's going to have milk, isn't it? For what? Long, long time. Long time. Before, you can't chop meat up. You can't give them a piece of steak and say, here, eat this. You know, you can't do it. It'd probably choke or just can't digest it. But once again, when you come to the book of Ephesians, it is meat. And a lot of people can't handle it. So you got to go back and give them milk. Remember that passage in Corinthians where he talks about, I had to feed you like milk? You know, because what was the reason? They couldn't bear it. They was babes. You know, that's why he was reproofing the behavior. He says, man, you know, I'd love to give you meat, but you're not there. So that's another good thing about dispensational truth. When you work through way God designed Pauling's pattern there is that you do start out with milk and you get a little food and now you're up here and you're starting to eat meat like an adult. But you know, you'll run across people that may not understand what you want to portray to them. So what do you got to do? You have to give them a little milk, don't you? And let them grow a little bit and take care of them. But I mean, they could be, you know, 85 years old down to 15 years old, still on milk. But that's just like what you say, you know, but you can't let that stop you from growing, can you? No. Steward is a manager of the house. His responsibility, his job is the management. A steward is an administrator. The dispensation is his administration. I know he wrote the book to Ephesians, but I do believe it's a book for the body of Christ. And we can learn from it. And each one of us has a responsibility in this. And you remember the verse in 12 is the meat that is giving out of that house. So as the overseer here, is my responsibility to give it to you. You know that old saying, you can set the table, but you can't make nobody eat it. It's sad, isn't it? You make a big old spread and Ed comes along, he don't like mayonnaise. Oh man, there goes the potato salad. There goes the coleslaw. You know, what else do you make with mayonnaise? Deviled eggs. You can have all you want. You make all you want.
Angel eggs.
Is that what you call them, angel eggs? Okay. But anyway, but you know, you don't have to worry about me eating them. So, you know, enjoy. But the thing is the dispensation of grace, that particular program that God administers today is called the program of grace. And Ephesians 3:2 says it is given to Paul to who? You word. It is given by Christ to Paul to give to you and me. This is a portion of meat that the Father has given for us today, if you think about it. Is meat protein?
Yes.
Many of us as weight lifts, many of us has gone on diets. When you cut that meat out, did you feel a little weird? I did. You know, 11 days I didn't eat meat. You know, but I fed myself with different things. And that 5 days, I was like, ooh, I feel a little weird. You know, and then after you did a little bit further, you start building some things up. But now the protein, would this not be good protein for your spiritual body to eat? The meat of God's word? You need it, guys. You need it. And so I got a few more things. Now, you understand that there's a number of dispensations in the Bible, correct? The one in which we live in is the dispensation of what? Grace. And dispensation, once again, is a good Bible word. You saw it there. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. If you got the right Bible, it's in your Bible four times. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You're still in Ephesians? Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Go to verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not what?
The gospel.
He had a burden, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a burden like any of us would ever have. If you think about it, God told him he's going to do it, and he had to do it or else. But nevertheless, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto... Man, that's a responsibility. And sometimes I think, I have that responsibility. You have that responsibility. And if you think about the responsibility, it's according to how you respond to it, isn't it? Our emotions are responders in our soul. You know, our conscience are responders. You know, I respond to the burnt hamburger I made last night. And it was tight. Quite tasty, if I might add. But I didn't want it burnt. I just had the grill too hot. And sitting there talking about other things. Talking about Joshua and Caleb going into the promised land where their giants was. You remember, you know that story? Moses told those 12 men to go in that land to scope it out. 10 of them came back and said, whoa, we're like grasshoppers. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, didn't we? And the giants in the land. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can whip them. Caleb, 80-some years old, and ready to whip them.
Yeah.
You know, I like to have a guy like that. But Ephesians 1:10. I'm talking about that burnt my hamburger, but anyway. Ephesians 1:10. let's go to verse 7. In whom, to get the context, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Now, where did he purpose that?
In himself.
Okay. That in the dispensation of fullness times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's God the Father there. And he says in the fullness of times, in the dispensation of fullness of time, it's not on this Bible line yet. So there's going to be a dispensation of the fullness of times. And ages to come. Now, is that more than one age?
That's right.
Ages and ages. Time don't matter to God. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on His schedule. But in the fullness of time, He gathered what's in heaven and what on earth, primarily through the nation Israel and what's the body of Christ, and gathers together and gives it to who?
Jesus Christ.
His Son. Man, that's awesome. And you're going to be a part of that. Isn't that wonderful? No. What God the Father has given God the Son, you have that same inheritance. Man. We were about putting that little change in that piggy bank. You know what I mean? Man, the riches. And then you got what? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to go back to verse 20 for a second and see if you get this flow a little bit. But look, Colossians 1, 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say whether the things in earth or things in heaven." That's what we just talked about over in Ephesians 1. Mm-hmm. And once again, there's different types of reconciliations in the Bible, so you got to be careful. There's a universal reconciliation people out there that says when it's all said and done out here, even Satan's going to be reconciled back to God. You know what I mean? That's weird, isn't it? Then what do you need a fiery lake for?
Waste of space.
But look, what does it say? "And you that were sometimes alien and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet He have reconciled." You know what that is? It hadn't saved you. God's at peace with the world today. Mm-hmm. He's not your enemy. And He says, "In the body of His flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved from the hope of the gospel," here it is, Walt, "which ye have heard, and which was," you see that was? Mm-hmm. Is that past tense, isn't it?
Yeah.
"Preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I am a minister, made a minister." So there's a point, once again, at one time, I believe that message was preached to every creature under heaven. Now what they did with it, we found out what they did with them. We jumped right into their religions. But think about it. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and filled up that which is behind of all the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church." I've heard people preach that you're not going to have to suffer no more because Paul fulfilled all the sufferings for you. So you don't have to worry about it. He filled them up. You know, you think about, now, these are grace people. Yeah. And I'm like, well, keep reading. "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the" what? Dispensation "of God, which is given for me, for you to fulfill the word of God." Who's fulfilling the word of God in the dispensation of grace? You don't have to look for any more writings or any more revelations and worry about who's going to pen the next book when He says He fulfilled the word of God. And now you put them in that canon of scriptures with the Hebrew writings and the New Testament writings, Hebrew through Revelation, you have a completed word of God. Amen? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Father, once again, we thank You for the day. We thank You for things You've given us freely in Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Any questions?